Okay, we'll do the path of bhakti. It's also a very beautiful verse. It kind of continues the path of faith and devotion. Verse number 26. Anye tvevam ajanantah. Majanantah. Shrutvan yebhya upasate. Tepi chati tarantyeva. Mrityum shruti parayanaha. So he says, Anye. Now there are the others. Now the fourth one. How about the ones who may not be very good in doing karma yoga? They may not be very capable of going out and serving the world. And yeah, they have knowledge, but they are not that much geared towards the path of knowledge. They believe in love. I want to love God. That's it. I want to reach Him through love. I don't care to study the Upanishads and all. That's okay for the guys in the university. I just want to sit down and say, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Like Mirabai, she chose the path of love. Look at even Ramakrishna Paramhans. Look at so many great saints. They reached God through love. And some people say, can he not be reached through love? So Swami Chinmayananda says, he can be reached through love, but that is not very easy. You can't just say, I love God, and then, go out and torture the other people. When you love God, first of all, the love has to be a complete surrender. The I and my has to go away, and God alone is. Everything is His. I am His. My body is His. My mind, intellect are His. My achievements are His. He is working through me. I am the instrument in His hand. And whatever I have is also His. So that total surrender, which in the path of knowledge, it comes through understanding. But this is actually more difficult. In my opinion, the path of love, even though people think it is easy, it is easier for women, I find, because women have intrinsically the ability to love. They love their children, totally. So their love is more strong. But still, there has to be an element of surrender, and there has to be love, and there has to be faith. Then, if you have that, then the path of devotion is good for you. But as I have said before, there is no reason why you can't do all three. I can serve God, I can know God, and I can love Him. Why not? Do all three. Pick everything. One of them can be predominant, but I have to love Him. Unless I love Him, I'm not going to be able to serve Him. Unless I love Him, I'm not going to want to know about Him. So all three, all are connected. They all work together. They all, support each other. So he says, Anye. So there are others for whom they are more emotional. They love God. So he says, Tu, for these people, Tu indeed, Evam, Ajanantaha. Ajanantaha, they are not interested in knowledge. They don't want to sit and study the Sanskrit and read the Upanishads and all that. They don't want to say, I am that and I am this and I am the... They're not interested in all that. They say, God is there. I love Him. I just surrender. Forget about all this. So, ajanantaha. So, what do they do though? They still have to know who is God. They still have to hear about God. So, shrutva anye. These people, anyebhya. So, they find somebody who can tell them about God, like Mirabai had Guru Ravidas ji. Anyebhya upasate, having heard from somebody else, upasate, they worship, they serve. Upasate does not only mean that they just go and throw flowers or light a candle or do some aarti, but they serve the Lord in all their dealings. In everywhere, they see that one Lord everywhere. So upasana means serving and constantly remembering the Lord. And what happens to them? Tepi cha, and they also ati taranti, they go beyond, they cross over this ocean. Taranti means they cross over this ocean, because this world is considered as an ocean where I am drowning. Oh Lord Krishna, you are my savior, you come and pull me out. So he says, they taranti eva mrityum, they go beyond death. Shruti Parayana. Shruti Parayana means, Shruti means heard, Parayana means one who has total faith in what he or she has heard. So having heard from the guru or having read in the scriptures, Shruti is both. Shruti means listening to the guru. Shruti also means the scriptures. So having learnt from the guru or from the scriptures, they go beyond death. So what is the meaning of going beyond death, and what is the meaning of listening, and what is the meaning of upasana? So when they say that they go beyond death, first of all, it means that they become immortal, like Mirabai. You know, how many, 400-500 years ago she was living, her bhajans we still sing. Even 1,000 years from now, 2,000 people will still remember Mirabai and sing her bhajans. Jesus, you know, 2,000 years ago, he was on this earth. People still remember him. Buddha was here 2,500 years ago. Narasimha Mehta. All these great saints and sages, they become immortal. You know, even thousands of, as long as humans are there on earth, people will remember, you know, these saints. As long as, you know, people are there, they will remember Swami Chinmayananda, as long as Chinmaya missions are there throughout the world. So one is they go beyond death, means they become immortal. Second is, okay, even if they don't become well known and they just remember God and they leave the body, but what happens is that they go beyond the world of change, because you and I are living in this world of death, which is called Mrityu Lok, or the world of death. Death only does not mean the death of the body where you drop your body, but all the time you are going through birth and death. Like the day is born, and then the day dies, and then the night is born, and then night is born, dies, and the day is born. So there is birth and death constantly. Thoughts are constantly born and they die in my mind. Cells in my body are constantly being born and died. First I was a little infant, and then I became a child, and then a youth, and then a young man, and a middle age. So childhood died and youth came, youth died and middle age came. So we are going through this constant change. And then seasons, you know, I don't like summer, I don't like winter. So summer will go and winter will come, and then winter will go and autumn will. So all these changes are there, and in this world of change, we are suffering. I don't like this person, I don't like this season, I don't like my body getting old, I don't like my memory fading, I don't like my hearing, and in all those things you don't like. But the fact is that we are in this world of change. But once you experience that inner truth, then the changes may happen. But I am always happy. You know, people are, you know, my body is changing, my mind is changing, people don't appreciate me, but I am happy. Once you are in that zone of happiness, that is called the realization of the self. And even if you don't become realized and reach it, but even while you are on the path, you'll find that as you are evolving spiritually, you become more happy, you are more content, you are more peaceful. I think in the Thursday class, somebody asked, how do I know that I am evolving spiritually? And we said the answer was that once things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore, you are more calm, you are more peaceful, you are intrinsically happy. You look at these Mahatmas, and when you sit in their presence, you feel so calm and so peaceful. And why? Because they are like an ocean of calmness, and you just go sit with them, you can drink. So that little time you spend with them, you get a little bit of that, of their divine qualities. So they become so calm within because they have come closer to the truth that they go beyond the death. So that's why they say they have overcome death, they have conquered death. And of course, you know, also they experience that I am that deathless reality. That is my true nature. I am indeed deathless and birthless. I was never born, I never died, and I never will die. This body will perish, so what? You know, nothing happens to me. So that is what they mean, that these people who are devoted to the Lord, they become immortal. And they go beyond this ocean of samsara. this ocean of the world, they are no longer under the persecution of this world, and they are no longer drowning because the Lord himself becomes their savior. But it says you need faith and devotion. You need to have total faith and total devotion in the Guru and in the scriptures. And once you do that, and as I said, surrender your ego to the Lord. That's why look at Mirabai. You know, she said, Mere to Giridhar Gopal. Krishna alone is mine. I don't care for anybody in the world. And then she also had that knowledge, because as we mentioned, she had this Guru Ravidas ji, whom she used to write letters to. And when she was being persecuted, when she was having a lot of problems in the world from her husband and her in-laws and all, she wrote him a letter. And Ravidas ji wrote back to her. He says, look, you are on the right path. Don't let anybody dissuade you. No matter what happens, you know, you have the Lord with you. And he was able to give her support and right knowledge when she needed it. So that's what they say, that when you are on the spiritual path, then the Lord himself makes the knowledge available to you. He'll send a guru. He'll make your circumstances so that no matter what happens, you know, he makes the path clear for you. Once you start on in his direction, he says, then I am responsible for making the road. Then I become the contractor. I'll make the road for you too, and put a red carpet so you can walk to my house. So then he becomes responsible for your spiritual journey. And this Ravidas ji, there's another beautiful story from his life. I thought I would just give that. He was a great saint, but he was a cobbler. You know, a cobbler is a low caste, and he used to make shoes. And there was a king, King Pita was his name, who somehow heard about this, you know, this great guru. She said, let me go and get some knowledge from him, you know, because he, you know, even the very, he was a king, but he still was, it used to get disturbed, used to get angry and all. So he said, maybe with some spiritual knowledge. So he goes there and he bows down to this cobbler and he says, you know, Maharaj, can you give me some knowledge? I really, you know, with humility and great this thing, he goes there. So that saint felt, you know, compassion for him. So he had this leather vessel that was made out of leather, chamde ka that. And in that he used to carry the water to make the shoes. So he said, okay, you drink this water. He told the king that I'm going to pour this water. You drink it and, you know, that will be my blessing. So the king said, first of all, I'm a king and I'm a kshatriya. And this is a low caste cobbler. And then he's giving me a vessel in a leather, water from a leather, you know, which is already like a dead cow. And that water I'm supposed to drink. He suddenly got it. You know, he had gone with that faith, but that faith disappeared. And so he allowed the water, he pretended to drink, but allowed the water to run into his shirt. And he didn't drink any, and he came home. Now that water got stained because that water had a little brownish tinge from the leather. So it was a beautiful silk, you know. And he said, oh, it got stained, you know. He came back. So he gives it to his washerman. He says, you know, you wash this for me, because now this is my best, you know, outfit, and now it's all brown stained silk, white silk. So the in those days, you know, they didn't have these detergents and all that much. So they used to actually chew on that. They used to chew on that to remove the stains. But, you know, so with their mouth, you know, with the spit. So that's what was one of the methods. So he tells his daughter, you chew on this. So, and remove the stain, and then I can wash the king's garment. So the daughter says, okay. So she takes that garment and chews on it and removes that brown stain. And just by chewing, because that water had been blessed by Ravidas, she realizes. She becomes a great realized, you know, saint. And she starts speaking such wonderful words of wisdom. And everybody wonders, you know, what happened to her? She was an ordinary washerman's daughter. Now she's a realized saint and she talks Upanishads and beautiful truths and all that. And of course, the washerman washes that garment and takes it back to the king. And the king now suddenly hears about this miracle that my washerman's daughter is now such a great saint and now hundreds of people are coming to listen to her. So he goes there and he sits there in front of her. And so she bows down to him, you know, as the king. He says, no, I have come to bow down to you because I heard you are a great saint. She said, no, I am not a great saint. I owe everything to you. So me, what did I do? She said, you know that shirt you sent? I chewed on that and there was some water from that saint. And that's how I got enlightened. And the king felt so ashamed. He said, he was ready to give me that enlightenment. And I, like a fool, you know, allowed that water to just drip. So he goes back to that saint. He bows down and he apologizes. He said, I'm very, very sorry. The saint said, you know, that water was actually nectar. It was amrit from heaven. And I had at that time, because you were humble, so out of, you know, compassion, I was giving it to you. But, you know, you lost the opportunity, but you still not lost. He said, I'll give you a mantra. So he gives him the naam, you know, like the saints give the naam. He said, I'll give you this mantra and you keep on chanting. And in a few years, now you will realize. So you had that opportunity for instant realization, which you lost. But now, yeah, in a few years, if you honestly and sincerely chant this mantra, you will reach that same state. So that is the glory of these great saints, you know, and even a touch of their is enough. So one who has total faith and love and devotion for the saint, even though they may not have too much knowledge, but that faith and surrender can take you to that same. The others, path of karma and knowledge will help you to evolve, but the path of bhakti, even without knowledge, can take you straight to the highest. It is equal to the path of contemplation and meditation. But the bhakti has to be total surrender and total love, you know, complete love for the Lord. And my thinking is, you know, do everything. You know, what is the harm? You know, do little of this, little of everything. Yeah, you don't lose anything. The more you think about him, the more you love him, the more you serve him, the more you meditate, the closer you are. So don't, they're not watertight compartments. Just practice everything. Yes. No. That was another. Mirabai was the king's wife. And then she, of course, wrote him a letter. But Ravidas had many disciples. Yeah. You know, that was a different, because a lot of people used to come to him. Mirabai was in Rajasthan. He was living in Punjab, but she used to communicate by mail. Oh, bhakti? He hasn't used the word exactly bhakti, but Shruti Parayana. Parayana means one who has total faith and devotion for that, for the knowledge, for the guru and for the scriptures. But within the commentary, he talks about it. Gurudev kind of covers it. And also in his audio tape, he mentions that. They haven't specifically mentioned the word bhakti, but it is implied. Right. It is for people who are neither like Mirabai didn't do any service. You know, she didn't have too much knowledge. She hadn't read the scriptures, Upanishads. She never sat and meditated, but she still reached. Same Ramakrishna Paramhans. He was, you know, a priest. He had not studied the scriptures. He didn't do too much service. He didn't meditate. All he did was just love the mother goddess. So they can reach also. Yes. Right. Came later. Yeah. Right. Plus she grew up in a palace and was not exposed to all these pundits and scholars. You know, in those days, as you said, printing press was not there. Books were not available. So you had to have a living guru to come and teach you, you know, who had studied the scriptures. So she used to correspond to this Ravidas. She used to write to him. But then again, she didn't have that detailed knowledge of the Upanishads and all that. She just got some, you know, basic little advice from him. But all of these sayings, once they realize, then their words become words of wisdom. You know, look at Ramakrishna Paramahansa. You know, he talked the highest truth. Look at even Mirabai. Look at Tukaram. You know, he was also not very educated, but after he realized, then he composed thousands of abhangs, beautiful songs of devotion, which also have great knowledge, Vedantic knowledge. All of these, you know, Narsimha Mehta and all of it, when you listen to their songs and their writings, they're full of knowledge, not only love for God, but also knowledge. So that comes to them spontaneously. They don't have to go out and learn, because then the Lord speaks through them. See, they are not talking, then they become mouthpiece for Him, and then He is, of course, infinite. So they don't need to study then.
True.
Yeah, he was a great karma yogi. He was also Brahma Gyani. He had profound knowledge. Yeah.
And everything was dedicated to Lord Ram.
Yeah, that's the perfect example, if you want to, of the bhakti. Yeah. Where he had absolutely zero ego. He had so much power and never for a moment thought that I have. Everything he gave it, devoted to Ram, and said, oh, because of Ramchandra ji, I can. He could fly, but he said it's because of that Mudrika, Meli Mukmahi, Jaladi Langi Gaye, you know. He said, oh, because it's of Ram's ring that I can fly. But he could, but he gave all the credit to Ram.
Yes. The rocks or the bridge too.
Right. Yeah, he wrote Ram's name and then put the rocks and they floated. That's how they made the bridge from India. It's about 20 some miles, 22 miles. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pasyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.